You're listening to Archer Radio.
This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com, the only ordinary queercast on the internet. This show is recorded Friday evening, September 9th, 2005. And I am so lucky to have the boyfriend here. Would you like to say hello?
Hello.
You're so simple when you say hello. So, boyfriend, I'm sure all, before we get into any kind of topics, I'm sure the listeners would like to know how your family is doing. So could you just give us a little quick update on family? And
well, my family's doing fine. My parents were able to return to their home to survey the damage. And they do have some damage. It's fixable. I think it's a bit more than they thought. There's some, they have water in their house. There's some wind damage to the roof and the siding. They've got some wet walls that need to be cut out. But overall, I mean, there's no structural damage. And compared to other people, certainly they have nothing to complain about. So, but they're relieved, I think, to have survived the whole thing. They can't stay in their house. The house has to be decontaminated. So they're staying with my sisters. One sister lives 15 minutes away in a part of Jefferson Parish that didn't get
as much
a lot
damage.
Of damage. And they have power at their house. And then my other sister lives in Baton Rouge, which is where they spent the hurricane. And so they've been kind of moving around from house to house. And I think they'll be out of their house for, I would say, 2 months at least. And I'm trying to get them to come up here to take a nice long vacation. Last time I spoke to my mom, she sounded very, very exhausted. It's been very tiring. It's been a very horrible experience. So they're doing fine. My sister went to Houston at the peak of the, you know, before the hurricane hit, so they weren't there. Their house fared well. They had some wind damage. And but nothing that, again, can't be fixed, and they feel very fortunate that they still had a house when they came back. But it's been a nightmare as far as communicating with them, and telephone communication's been sporadic, and I've only been able to get in touch with them on a sporadic basis. So I was very relieved to hear their voices and hear that they were doing fine. And but you know, I've spoken to friends who've lost their homes, and so far everyone that I've contacted, their family, friends, they've all been okay. But it's been quite a long time to get in touch with everybody and to get information. But overall, I guess I'm breathing a sigh of relief.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Now, that's an update on the family. But how are you doing? Are you dealing with this okay?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm feeling better. As you know, last week I was very anxious and very stressed out and exhausted, because when my mom finally was able to get a hold of me, she had not contacted other family members, and she couldn't because of the, you know, the power was down. There was no phone communication, and cell phones were very unreliable. So she could call me from New Orleans on her cell phone, but she could not call my other sister on her cell phone.
Right.
So I was, and then because my grandmother was worried, and then my aunt was worried, and her sister was worried, and they could all call me, but they could not call each other. So
right.
Last week I was this information
superhighway.
And even I had a hard time calling out to my aunt. My aunt kept leaving messages, wanting to know how my parents were doing and how their house had fared and where they were staying. And then I couldn't call her back. And so then I had to wait for her to call me back. So it was exhausting. And so I can't imagine. I mean, these poor people who lost their homes, they lost probably family members, and they've been displaced because of the hurricane. They're staying in other parts of town. Families have been, you know, split up over this. So I really can't complain, and I can only imagine what they've been going through.
I know. I was actually thinking about that, that you've been very lucky and you're in a very good place in terms of, you know, when you think about all these other people who have nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so, excuse me. Now, I know that we, last weekend when we were at Tarara, we had our distraction from the whole hurricane thing, but even at Tarara, we did have a discussion about the government reaction, and actually things this week have changed. Have your feelings changed about how the government's reacted this week?
Well, I've always despised George Bush and the whole Bush family, and I think what Hurricane Katrina did was blow the masks off the Bush, the charade of the Bush family. We see them for what they are. They're out of touch patricians who have no idea how average Americans live. And in fact, I compared Barbara Bush, her horrible comments this week.
What a bitch.
To Marie Antoinette, the Bourbons of another time, who really just couldn't understand why poor people in Paris just didn't eat. If they were hungry, I'm the history teacher, so I'll give you a little history lesson. But historians don't think Marie Antoinette literally said, "Let them eat cake." But she did hear about plight of peasants living in Paris and the horrible conditions they lived in and the burdens of the taxes they were paying. She took a little carriage stroll through the streets of Paris and what have you, and she just couldn't understand. If they were hungry, why didn't they just eat bread? I mean, she didn't know, because to her, bread was such the basic staple. Everyone has bread.
Why did these people actually have bread?
That's it. She just couldn't understand that they were so poor and down and out that they couldn't even afford a slice of bread. And so we're living in the same kind of – we're being governed by the same regime. And I call the Bush administration a regime because that's just what it is. They're a dynasty. They're a political dynasty. They're patricians, the ranch in Crawford, the compound at Kennebunkport, Maine. Call it Versailles, call it the Forbidden City. They're simply out of touch. And that's what Katrina, I think, exposed. And Karl Rove couldn't spin it in time to protect it.
Now especially when Mother Bush is speaking out the way she did.
Well, it's all of them. Mother Bush, Bush Jr., Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney, he was off.
None of them.
He was off closing on a house 3 days while the hurricane was.
Well, but
going
if you listen, their comments are all. It's the old script. It's the old talking points. Progress is being made. Just a handful of problems, a couple of bad apples, but things are going. Dick Cheney made these remarks amidst rubble, amidst ruins, saying these things, and someone passed by and said, "Go fuck yourself, Mr. Cheney."
Yeah, I love that.
Because the talking points don't work anymore. The spin doesn't work.
No, because people are seeing.
What happened, the thing is, the war in Iraq was it's been scripted.
Right. We've only been allowed to see what they're letting us see.
Katrina didn't hand out talking points when she blew in, you know, 190 mile an hour winds. She didn't prepare them.
No.
So, and of course, they were all caught off. They were on vacation.
Condi was
buying shoes.
She was seeing a Broadway show.
They just had other consider why they didn't serve in Vietnam. Dick Cheney had other things to do.
Yeah.
He was working from Wyoming. That was the excuse.
Trying to build up that Halliburton.
Why, you know, Georgie Boy was serving in the National Guard and just forgot to show up for duty. Well, he was taking a little snooze down in San Diego playing guitar and taking a little rest. He forgot to show up for duty, didn't he?
He sure did.
So habits just, they don't change. And
He fucked up big time.
Well, if there's any silver lining in this whole disaster, it's that maybe, just maybe, the charade have been, it's been exposed for what it is, a very dangerous charade. So
I sure hope so. Now, we were talking earlier about... at least I was talking about earlier about the outrage of Democrats. Why haven't we really heard a lot from Democrats? I know that Nancy Pelosi has been pretty pretty out there saying her comments.
Harry Reid has said some things. Howard Dean has spoken up. But you know, you read in the Washington Post that Democratic strategists are warning they shouldn't overplay their hand. Well, you know, if the Democrats can't make hay over this and do something constructive about it and point out that the neoconservative so-called small government, which benefits really the wealthy, if you want to drown government in a bathtub so it can't help the American citizen, then this is what you get. This is what it's like to live in 1900. We're seeing it now.
Yeah.
So if the Democrats can't go back to what made them a strong party, we do represent government that helps its own. We do represent welfare for the common good. If they can't go back and develop that message out of this tragedy, the high gas prices we're paying, which has been going on even before Katrina.
Yeah, but Katrina was a good excuse to raise them even higher.
And the new reports that poverty levels are at an all-time high, what, almost 13% of Americans now are living in poverty.
But in New Orleans, it was a lot higher. It was like 40%, wasn't it?
Well, it was, but now this is a nationwide problem. You know, Democrats have been champions of environmental issues. If they can't go back to those issues and say, see, America, we were getting it right, if they can't do that, if they're too afraid, they deserve to lose.
And I think they are too afraid, because I don't think enough of them are speaking out on this whole issue. As I said, you only really, at least I'm only hearing from Nancy Pelosi, at least on the TV at least.
Well, I've been getting, because you know, I belong to a lot of these.
You know, I know, you're hearing from MoveOn.org.
Yeah, and I read all the political blogs, and so I get things from Barbara Boxer, and she's pretty outspoken. I get things from John Kerry, but I delete those.
Yeah, because he's been awfully quiet.
Well, you know, it's interesting he's the outspoken liberal after he's lost the election as a milquetoast Democrat. I think they're, you know, the usual voice of critics are speaking up. So we'll see what happens. But
what do you think is going to come of this? Are we going to see any changes?
I don't know. It's too early to tell. I mean, I can only hope that for many Americans, you know, we have Rick Santorum, for example, saying,
I hate him.
If they don't leave, they ought to be penalized. Well, haven't they already been penalized? They're dead.
He's a fuck.
I mean, what is he going to do? Tax the corpses? I mean,
he's an idiot.
Well, you know what I think was wrong with him?
What?
You know, he's an Angus Day Catholic.
What?
Angus Day Catholic.
What the hell is that?
It's a very conservative, radical Catholic group.
I thought he was like Christian something or Republican.
No, he's a very, very strict Catholic. And I suspect Rick Santorum was molested.
Oh, now, sweetie, you can't say
Wait.
That.
Wait. Not by a priest.
Because he was too ugly?
But by a Catholic sister.
Oh, no.
I think Rick Santorum wanted to be molested by a priest.
Oh.
But you know what he got instead?
He got a pussy.
No, he got Sister Mary Golgotha with an unlubricated finger.
Oh,
you know
no.
what I mean? Yes.
Oh, no, that's nasty.
I'm afraid Rick Santorum was dry finger fucked as a child.
Honey, where do you come up with these things?
Well, listen to his remarks. He sounds like a very strict Catholic nun. I went to Catholic school. I had very strict nuns.
Oh,
and they would say the same kinds of things. You deserve what you get. You deserve the consequences.
So do you think
you didn't get punished enough?
So he probably thinks he deserved to get that dry finger up his ass.
Probably, and he probably thinks those dead people deserve to be dead.
Oh, he's really,
and you know what?
Up.
They should be penalized beyond dead.
All of their whatever they have left after death, that should be taxed. Well, you know, actually, changing the subject a little bit, I heard yesterday on the news that they were thinking, there were some Democrats calling for Bush to recall the tax cut to help pay for this, because it's going to cost like $150 billion.
Yeah.
Well, that's sad about Rick Santorum. That's actually nasty.
Well, it's not, because it leaves him wide open. I mean, he's such a sitting duck next year for...
And will he be replaced?
Oh, yeah.
Is there any good candidates?
Oh, he's far, far behind. I think Casey's running against him.
Oh.
And he's already losing.
That's good.
So all he needs to do is keep opening his mouth. You know the story about his wife who had a miscarriage?
No, what?
Well, his wife had a miscarriage. And so what they did was they took the fetus, the dead fetus, they wrapped it in a blanket, and they brought it home so their children could see.
You are kidding.
I am not kidding.
That's so gross.
And his wife wrote a book dedicated to the dead fetus. Then they brought the dead fetus.
Wait a minute. How dead? I mean, like, not how dead. How long? How far along was she?
Only like 4 or 5 months.
Oh, my God. It wasn't even.
I am not making this up. I couldn't make this up. This is true. Because they wanted to bring the point home that a fetus is a living thing, and abortion is wrong.
Oh, hers was
dead. So their children, like their living children, got to see the fetus. Then they brought the fetus to the grandparents, and they got to hold the fetus. And then his wife wrote letters to the fetus. Daddy is fighting those bad abortion doctors.
These people are fucked.
They wrote a book dedicated to the fetus. They buried the fetus in a burial plot.
Did they name it?
I think it's Gabriel or something like
this. Oh, my God. That is
so... They are beyond twisted.
That is so fucking out
there.
That is crazy.
I think even Jesus would say, you're fucking twisted.
Yeah, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, he's still got that finger up his ass, so what can you say?
I bet he loves to get fingered now, though. No. Now, what did you think about the FEMA director being replaced today by that...
Well, he just got shuffled around.
Yeah, he didn't lose his job.
No.
No, he just got moved back to D.C.
Yeah.
Some third... who's the guy who took over for him? Third level admiral or something?
Let's just hope we don't get any hurricanes or terrorist attacks up here, because he's still on the job.
Ophelia is out there churning around, although I think she's going to hit the Little Larrys. Not Little Larrys. Little Fatties. The Larrys in South Carolina.
Well, get out the way if they tell you to leave.
I think anybody would now, don't you?
Yeah, I hope so.
I think so. So, anything else going on with you besides this hurricane stuff?
Well, I have to say, we're having this. I know you like the Sarah's Patio Red.
Yes, from Chrysalis Winery.
I can't say that I'm grooving on it.
Okay, now wait a minute. What don't you like about it?
Well, it has a very grapey.
Wait a minute. Do you think it's like Welch's grape juice?
No. It's a little too grapey, a little too sweet, a little too fizzy for me.
See, I don't think it's too sweet.
I think it's sweet, and it's too fizzy. I guess with pizza I would like this.
Yeah, we're not having pizza.
We're just sipping this.
But see, now this Sarah's Patio Red from Chrysalis Winery, I like it because it's a red you can chill, and it's got a little fizz to it. I mean, I think this bottle is less noticeable than the first bottle we had, you know, what, 2 months ago?
I suppose.
Well, move close to the microphone, honey.
Okay. Is that better?
I don't know. I can't hear you. I hope they can.
Okay.
This one I think is less fizzy than the first bottle we had. Just my opinion. But I'm liking it. We've only had, what, 3/4 of a glass, maybe?
I think it's the only glass I'm going to have.
We probably should have drank a lot more before we started this podcast. Now, tomorrow, I'm taking the boyfriend to a family gathering in Charlottesville, Virginia. Now, are you going to drink a bottle of wine before you meet the family?
Do you think I should?
No, probably not.
Maybe I should have a bottle of.
Please lean into the microphone.
Maybe I should have
not
some.
That close.
Maybe I should have some white Zinfandel.
No, not white Zinfandel. Plus, it's at noon, so it's probably not a time to drink wine before. But seriously though, no. Do you think we should take some wine with us?
Do you think your family would like a bottle? That's up to you. I don't know what your family likes.
Fuck! I totally forgot my sister's birthday. Should I take her a bottle of wine?
Only if she's going to open it and drink it.
I don't know. She's kind of white trash. They drink beer.
Then bring some white Zinfandel.
I don't know. My other sister would drink the wine, but she's a fucking Republican, so...
Well, you can't go wrong with... It's hard to know what people like, but usually a Chardonnay is a crowd pleaser. I mean...
Yeah, that's...
Not a very dry one.
Okay, well, you know my wine collection. Which one should I take?
Well, I would. I mean, not an oaky Chardonnay.
Well, I'm not going to take the Grey Ghost Reserve Chardonnay.
Well, I'm sure there's something in there that we could bring that everyone would enjoy.
Yeah, I have to think about that.
Maybe some Boone's Farm.
No, not Boone's Farm. That's
you
gross.
Got some ice cubes.
Do you know, listen to this. Do you know I have never tasted Boone's Farm?
My grandmother loves Boone's Farm.
When I was in high school, a lot of kids drank it in high school, but I never drank it in high school. I'm trying to think.
Did you drink Everclear?
Is that wine?
No, it's booze.
No, I can't. No, I don't like alcohol.
We make Jello shots with Everclear.
Oh, can you describe to us how you make these drinks? That seems to be the big thing to do lately.
Jello shots?
No, describing how you make drinks online or on your podcast.
I was in college. You'd make you put Jello. You know how to make Jello.
I do know
shot.
How to make Jello.
You put Everclear, and so you just
wait
like,
a minute. But what kind of liquor is Everclear?
Yeah, just liquor. I don't know. Everclear. I don't know. Is that gonna?
Oh come on!
Clear
is it like
bottle?
Vodka or gin or what is it?
I don't know.
You don't know. I don't
booze.
Know either.
I don't know. I was in college. What did I know? Everyone had Everclear with Jello. I don't know.
Do you know what I drank in high school? It was kind of grapey tasting. It was.
Look it up online. Look up Everclear.
Okay. But there was a drink in...
Because I haven't had it since I'm probably like 25 or something.
In high school... God, what was it called? Okay, so typing Everclear into the Googles fucked up the computer, so we're not doing that again.
Okay.
So,
But Everclear is also a rock band. I forgot to.
Well, yeah, I was going to say it came up on Google.
Well, it was a rock band. I don't know if they're still together, but...
But now, God, I can't remember the name of this stuff. It was kind of fizzy and grapey and barely any alcohol. Oh my God! Excuse
wine coolers?
Me. No, it wasn't a wine cooler.
Those are horrible.
It was. Oh my God! I can't think of the name of it. If my brother was here, he could tell me. Because, God, what the hell is it called? I can't think of it. But we got drunk on that. Anyway, what was I going to talk about next?
I don't know, it's your show.
We are totally not hearing you.
It's your show. What do you want to talk about?
It's my party and I'll cry if I want to. No. Okay, are you nervous about meeting my family tomorrow?
No, not really.
Because you've met my mother, my father, and my sister.
Yes.
So you're not nervous.
No.
You did ask me earlier, though, if you were going to have to avoid politics.
Well, yes, because, if they ask... about my family or the hurricane, what do I think about FEMA, George Bush, I'm afraid I will not be able to contain myself.
And I don't think you should. I think you should go ahead and go for it. If they ask you, you should tell them how you feel.
Well, of course, now I can't say that local and state officials are not to blame for the disaster.
Well, actually, did you hear that Blanco, whatever her name is, didn't ask for federal help for like 6 hours or something like that?
Well, but that's a piece of misinformation because the president can federalize. For example, the president can federalize the National Guard without.
Yeah, but you know, why didn't he do that? Because he knew it was going to cost some money, and he's already spending what, $1 billion a day. And
well, but Louisiana is the second poorest state in the country. But Mississippi is first.
Yes, Mississippi
is first.
And
New Orleans is the fifth poorest city in the country. So we're talking about local and state governments that are strapped for resources. And of course, there's a lot of under-the-table pork barrel politicking going on, and that needs to be cleaned up in Louisiana as well. I'm not completely blaming the federal government for a lack of preparedness. Louisiana state officials have been knowing for a long time that this was going to happen.
Yeah, but they've been pushing for federal assistance with the levees, at least. They just haven't been getting the funding.
Well, they haven't been getting the adequate funding, and when they have been getting the funding, it's been going to these pork barrel projects. So hopefully lots of eyes have been opened to this. But, you know, the role of the president is to show leadership. Certainly it was within his authority to federalize the National Guard. For whatever reason, Governor Blanco wasn't going to do that. He certainly owed the country a break from his vacation.
No, that's most definitely true.
To show some kind of leadership or even genuine concern.
But remember, George Bush hates blacks.
I think George Bush hates anyone who is not of his social
position. Socioeconomic level.
And he's stupid.
He's plain stupid. When you hear him talk, every time this week that he spoke, or even last week, he stuttered and he couldn't come up with the words.
How long did it take for him to learn to pick up that Texas twang? Because he's from Connecticut.
Well, sweetheart, he was born in Connecticut, but he was raised in Texas.
He's still a blue blood.
He definitely is. I mean, there's no question about that.
Well, how come Jeb Bush doesn't talk that way?
Because he's got that Southern Florida twang.
Why doesn't Barbara Bush talk that way?
She says other things that get her in trouble enough.
Well, he seems to be the only Bush that talks like he has a bush in his mouth.
Well, you know, he may have adopted that.
He has Laura Bush in his mouth.
Do you think they still have sex?
You know, I think he probably demands it, which is why she always has that Valium look on her face.
Wait a minute. You think he's the one asking for sex?
Yeah.
Because I was getting a picture that maybe she was asking for it and he wasn't
giving
it. Oh,
I'm sure she's tired of giving it up, that poor woman.
She gave it up once for them to have those twins, and then that was it.
That was enough.
Do you think he's got a big dick?
You know, I don't think he does. Which is why he has this macho, well, this swagger, this machismo, over the edge, over the limit machismo.
He's got to make up for that lack of dick size by doing all this other shit.
It might be teeny tiny.
Teeny tiny dick. Shall we change topics totally, completely?
Okay.
Okay. Now, as you know, the Apple Computer Company has come out with new technology this week. And I was wondering why you aren't really a huge adopter or embracer of technology.
You know why?
Why?
Because I don't have the patience for it.
Well, because, you know, I was telling the Larrys on the Little Fatty Cast that you don't really listen to podcasts, and most of the time you don't even listen to my show.
No, I listen to yours, usually.
But, you know, I'm thinking to myself, well, now, why hasn't he... I mean, you're an adult. We're the same age. You grew up at the same time I did. And I certainly don't consider myself, like, a major geek. But I certainly do adopt new technologies, and like I love that new iPod Nano.
I just don't understand it. All that lingo, bandwidth.
I know, I talk over your head all the time, don't I?
All that.
Does that make
megabytes?
Does that make you mad when I talk over your
gigabytes?
Head?
Gigabytes. No, I just don't really understand it. I don't even have a microwave oven.
That's true. He doesn't even have a microwave.
I don't even have a toaster oven.
You're right. You don't.
I still cook on the fireplace.
Do you? No, you don't. You don't even have a fireplace. You have a stove.
Oh, I do have a stove.
But now, remember I lent you my iPod Mini? Do you listen to that anymore?
Sometimes.
But it sits in your drawer, doesn't it?
Usually.
Well, you've got
to... I will listen to it. Like in the wintertime, it's really cold or it snows. And I don't jog as much as I do in the hot weather.
Yeah.
I take long walks. I probably will bring it.
Well, you know what we need to do? Because I started that, but I didn't finish it, was to put all of your CDs on your iTunes.
Yeah, because when I jog, I don't like to listen to anything. I like to, like, you know, smell the air. I don't like to be distracted with noise in my ears.
So, but walking is different?
Well, it was a nice cool or cold winter day, and... you know, Vivaldi's Four Seasons,
okay,
while it's
snowing,
you can create like
different.
Kind of an atmosphere. But you're jogging, you kind of have that heart rate going, the adrenaline going, and I just like to be aware of the birds. And
well, so if I got you one of the new iPod Nanos for, Christmas or your birthday, would you use it?
Sure, I would use it.
No, I don't know about that.
You have to teach me how to use it.
I would teach you how to use it, but you know...
if I bought you...
Yeah...
The Joy of Asian Cooking Cookbook. Would you use it?
No, I would not use it.
Of course you would.
I would not.
Did you tell your listeners we were behind two Asian women on the street corner? And they were speaking
whatever language.
We don't know. And you could translate for me?
I could not translate. We were staying there, and they were talking in some Asian dialect, and you were saying, "What are they saying, honey?" I'm like, I have no fucking idea.
Oh, no, you said, oh, they were saying, isn't it a nice day?
I was making that up. You're so funny. Oh, okay. Now,
you got your hair done today.
I was going to tell that story, actually. I didn't tell you this. I got my hair cut at a different salon today. The hair cuttery.
No more chop shops.
Well, I think the hair cuttery could still be considered a chop shop. It's not a barber shop, but it's a chop shop. In any case, so I went down there, and I think I was the only customer in the store. But here's the thing. I was the only white person in there. There were some Asians. There was an Indian. There was like obviously a Pakistani gay man.
They're all Asians.
That's true. They are all Asians. But then there was some
just like you.
There was some black people, too. But here's the thing. They were all talking about Bush, George Bush.
Yes.
And they were saying, you know, his tax cut didn't help them, and that if they were in New Orleans, they would be out on the street and stuff like that. And then they were talking about this one of the stylists. I was just sitting there listening while I was getting my hair cut. Excuse me. This one stylist says that she drives a Ford Expedition, which gets like seven or 8 miles a gallon. She goes... She said she filled up half her tank and it was $45. Mm-hmm. I wanted to say, lady, get a smaller car. But it was funny because they were all talking about Bush, and I wanted to turn around and say, how many of you voted for him? How many do you think of them would have voted for him?
Is he popular in the Asian community?
I don't know, honey. I don't know that. I was just
don't
curious.
Don't you ask your family?
Honey, I'm not Asian.
Okay, we'll talk about it later on.
But I was just curious. I'm thinking, okay, all these people are talking about Bush and how much they hate him, but I wonder... Well, first of all, I was a little put off by the fact that they were talking politics in front of customers.
Well, maybe they knew those customers.
Well, that was one thing. And then two, I was wondering, well, how many of you actually voted for Bush? And then my third thought was, oh my God, this would make such a cool sitcom, a television show. All these, you know, completely multi-ethnic. There wasn't a single white.
Yeah, but that's not Bush's audience.
But I thought it was so cool. There were blacks, there were Asians, there were, you know, Middle Easterns. There was all kinds of people there, and they were all, granted, yes, they were all speaking English, but I guarantee they all spoke another language.
Right.
It would make such a cool sitcom on TV, the multi-ethnic show, They would bring their own ethnicity to the show. I thought it was so
cool. Well, that's
cool.
Not his base, so probably very few of them, if any, voted for him.
Well, yeah, I thought that too. Afterwards, as I'm driving home, I'm thinking, well, first I'm thinking, oh, God, I really don't care for my haircut. And then two, that they definitely most probably did not vote for him.
Well, I like your haircut.
I'm going to – I need to ruffle it up because it's too what's the word? It's too stiff. It's too programmed. It's too
– It's too done.
It's too done. It's not coiffed or anything, but it's definitely done. I was thinking about growing my hair out, but now I'm thinking I can't grow it out because I have to keep it too neat and too parted and all that shit.
You don't have to. Nothing's stopping you from growing your hair out.
But if I... Okay, so the other part of the show kind of stopped because I ran out of space on the... what's it called? The garage band. So, what were we talking about? We were talking about my haircut. Do you remember what we were talking about?
Yes, we were talking about your hairdo.
Okay, why are you talking like that?
Because I want to.
Is it because you're hearing yourself in the headphones?
I like hearing my voice in various ways. Listen to this.
Okay, let's listen.
And now you know the rest of the story.
Okay, do you know who actually says that?
Paul Harvey.
Does he still say that? Is he still in the air? Seriously?
I thought he died.
Are you serious?
I have no idea.
Oh, do you know who died this week?
Gilligan.
Yes. Did you hear that on my show, or did you hear that read it on one of your...
I read it in the newspaper.
Oh, isn't that sad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last I heard about Gilligan, he was busted for pot.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was a couple years ago.
Wait a minute, was it medical marijuana?
No, it was a couple years ago. And in fact, Marianne was one of his I don't know.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Gilligan and Marianne were busted for possession of pot.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
And this was not long ago.
And now he's dead. I bet it was medical marijuana, because, you know, he died of some kind of... He had quadruple bypass surgery, but then he had some kind of cancer going. I don't know what
Who
kind
cares?
Of
Maybe they just like getting high.
That's true, too. When's the last time you smoked pot? You want to plead the fifth?
It's been a while. When was the last time you smoked marijuana?
I will tell you exactly. It's been 2 weeks.
Two weeks. No, good Lord. Shared?
I mean 2 years. It was 2 years ago with my previous boyfriend.
Are you aware of the dangers associated with marijuana?
I can't imagine what that's going to sound like. No, actually, I'm not aware of those. Can you fill the listeners in on what are you talking about? What are the ramifications? You mean like losing my job or something?
Didn't you see Reefer Madness?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't.
Then you should watch it. It was done in the 1930s.
1930s?
Yes, you laugh hysterically.
Why? Because it shows a bunch of people on, who are high?
And they laugh hysterically. They lose their senses. They become mad. And they throw themselves out of windows.
Well, the last time I smoked pot, I was laughing like crazy.
And I was good. You were having a good time.
I was having a great time, yes. It was great. That's why you need to get some pot sometime.
Why do I have to get pot?
Well, aren't you a dealer?
No, I don't think so.
I'm kidding with you. No, we're totally kidding. We don't smoke pot.
We do not engage in the habit of smoking marijuana.
Actually, we don't do anything illegal. Do you do anything illegal?
I masturbate.
That's not illegal.
Are you sure? Oh, you know what I did that was illegal?
What?
I cut the tag off my mattress.
You didn't? When did you do that? Just recently?
Yes.
I am reporting you.
You have to visit me in jail.
Okay. Speaking of cutting tags, do you think I need to cut the tags off of the chairs in my dining room? You know, the labels that stick underneath?
Is it illegal?
Well, you know, that little note says, I think it says to be removed only by the consumer or something like that.
Well, then perhaps you're perfectly within your rights to cut that off.
Well, then if I'm in my rights to cut that off, then you were probably within your rights to cut the tag off.
No, I think that's a federal offense.
But you own it.
I think I've broken the law.
Have you ever broken the law before?
Yes.
Okay, now don't make those sounds into... Because see these big blobs on the screen?
Yeah.
That's you making those...
Oh, noises. Let's do more.
No, because see, that means, honey, that you've... I think it's like over-modulating the sound. See, when this little bar goes into the orange or red area?
Yes.
You're speaking too loud.
Oh, wait, let me try it again. Let's look at it.
You're going to hurt the ears of our listeners.
I do not smoke marijuana.
Okay, now I'm sure that really hurt their ears.
You think so?
Yes, I do think so.
Do you think I offended... I didn't want to offend, like, Peter in Germany, who's very nice. Do you think I hurt his ears?
I'm
sorry, Peter.
But I think Peter would love you no matter what, because you know what? He said that he saw your video of you dancing the Watusi.
Oh, really?
Yes. And he said, the boyfriend is delicious.
Well, when you're doing the Watusi, it can be a very sexual dance.
It certainly can. And you know what? You are very... You're just a very sexual person, period.
Well, when I'm doing my Nancy Sinatra moves, it pours out of my skin.
Or when you're just dancing around naked in my condo.
I've never danced around naked. I've always been fully clothed.
Okay. Now, this weekend I'm going to bring the video camera and the iRiver and my regular camera, so I'm going to be doing lots of multimedia this weekend. Think you can handle it?
I think I am up to the task.
Now, you know, we're staying at my father's house in Charlottesville.
And we'll get to see Henry the Squirrel.
I know. I was just going to say that. Now, do you think you'll actually hold out your hand with the peanut so Henry can take it from you? Or are you going to be too scared this time?
I'm too scared of Henry.
Why? It's a squirrel.
He's a squirrel.
He's not going to hurt you.
He might have rabies.
Don't you think he'd be foaming at the mouth?
I don't know. You don't know how crazy squirrels are.
Well, that's true. I know. I don't know either. Well, is there anything else you'd like to talk about? I actually do have one more thing, but I want to ask you first. I want to ask you if you had anything else you want to talk about.
No.
Well, then let me ask you this. If you lean in just a little bit more. Just
yes.
I promise. Well, not don't get crazy with the microphone again. But I was listening to another podcast earlier this evening, and they were talking about fag hags. And I was thinking to myself that I don't have a fag hag. Do you have a fag hag?
I don't.
Oh, my God. Please excuse me. Wait a
but
minute.
You have a severe gas problem.
I do have that. Would you consider your friend D a fag hag?
No, not at all.
Why don't we have fag hags, then? It sounds like everybody in the world has a fag hag.
I don't... Well, maybe I'm misinterpreting the term, but I assume a fag hag is... A heterosexual female who accompanies her gay friends to gay clubs.
That's true.
I don't go to gay clubs.
Well, not just gay clubs, but gay gatherings
I just don't live that kind of... I'm a boring homosexual.
Okay, don't use the word boring because you know that's just fuel for the fire for the assholes out there who like to use it against you. But we're not going to go down that road. I shouldn't have said that.
I didn't even know what you were talking about.
I shouldn't have.
I'm not really into the whole subcultural things. So I don't really have women who want to join me in those, you know, and going to the, I don't go to, so I mean, I have female friends who come over for dinner, or we go out to dinner, or we go to, you know, each other's parties, and I hang out with their kids and their husbands or their wives or what have you, but... Yeah, I don't go to gay clubs. I don't go to gay events.
Well, have you ever had a fag hag, like when you were younger, maybe?
No. Well, I had a couple of female friends who would come out with us, and we would go to the gay bar because it was fun. And you know, if we were out to have a good time, and we knew that on Saturday night after 2 o'clock. The pub was happening, or you know, that's where people were going, or we were meeting other friends there. But we would also go to straight clubs. And in fact, when I was going out a lot in my 20s, I actually preferred going to the straight clubs because I thought they played better. I was more of a.
Did you get any guys there?
Actually, sometimes I did meet guys there. I had more luck sometimes at some of the straight clubs, especially here in Washington. But that's another show.
That is another show.
Anyway, so I never really had a fag hag. I was always eager to join them with their friends or boyfriends going to the straight clubs and or straight bars and having some beer and hanging out, or dancing, or whatever. I never really...
I know exactly what you mean. I've never had a fag hag either. I mean, I've never had a straight female friend who has gone anywhere. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. Oops, I spoke too soon. Now, if David listening to this, he's going to say, what about your friend A? Because actually in the early 90s, David and I, when we were together, we did have a straight friend, and she went everywhere with us, to the gay bars and everything. But the thing is, I always thought of her as a lesbian because she was a big butch girl.
Really? Maybe she was.
As far as, even up to today, she's still straight.
Yeah, but I did meet you know, gay men who had female friends who only went to gay bars with their
gay friends
and went to the gay parties, and they really were, I guess, fag hags?
Fag hags, I don't think they all like that term, but
well,
let me ask this, was she a big girl? Most fag hags are big girls.
They're big, yeah.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know.
All right. Well, I think we've talked long enough. What do you think? Are you podcasted out?
And now you know the rest of the story.
Thank you, Paul Harvey. Well, this is going to be a really good show. This is going to be like 40 minutes long whenever I get it edited. And, of course, I'll post this on Monday. So, and I did need to mention that we had two people guess the movie trailer. This is just a little business because I know you didn't listen to the show, but I played a movie trailer for a movie that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And two people guessed it correctly. And the movie trailer was for Brokeback Mountain, starring Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Ooh.
Oh my God, they're hotty as hell.
That must have been hot.
It is. The movie's coming out in December, and we will go see that movie, you and I will. And we will probably hold hands and kiss in the theater.
Really?
If I'm lucky.
We could do another guess that movie.
Wait a minute, but I have to play a clip.
Oh, I will be the clip.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay, well, let me just tell you who guessed it right. We had Scott Mindeau, of course, guess it right. He left a comment on the website, I believe. And then, Scott Mindeau guessed Brokeback Mountain. Not Bareback Mountain. Brokeback Mountain. And then Mikkel Kirk? Oh, Michael. From Altadena, California, guessed Jake Gyllenhaal. I mean... He guessed.
You're crazy.
Brokeback Mountain. I'm trying to read his email here. And he says, oh, listen to this. He says, love your show, you sexy monkey.
You are a sexy little thing.
I think he might be talking about you.
I think he's talking about you.
Well, in any case, Michael from Altadena, California, you are correct. It is Brokeback Mountain, directed by Ang Lee.
Okay.
All right. So, Now, the boyfriend has decided he's going to, what should we call this? Your imitation of a movie?
I'm going to give a piece from a movie.
Okay, so the boyfriend's going to create his own movie trailer, and you're going to have to guess
the movie.
What movie he is creating the trailer for.
Are you ready?
Yes, let's have 1 minute, 1 second of silence, and then you can begin.
Why can't you give me the respect that I would get from any fan on the street? Okay. Wait, here's the next part.
Okay, now
Be careful.
Be careful with the microphone.
Here's the next part.
Now, look, remember these little dots?
Yes.
You're
listen.
Too loud.
You've disrupted the trailer.
No, keep going.
Because I am not... one of your fans. You think they'll get it?
Oh my God, yes.
Okay.
They'll get it in a heartbeat. You're laughing, don't you think so?
I hope so.
Oh my gosh. You know what, I hate to say it, but I think I may have played a piece from that movie before.
Well, let's see if they get it again.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what, this part of the show could actually be a show of its own, because we've already gone 15 minutes into part two. All right, so, okay, this is your chance. Do you have anything else to say?
Remember the motto of the Nancy Sinatra School of Go-Go Dancing?
What's that?
These boots are made for walking.
And that's just what they'll do.
Absolutely.
No, you're supposed to say, and one of these days, these boots are going to walk all over you. All right. Okay, now, sweetheart.
I don't want to walk all over you.
No, I know, because I don't like that. I
would take my boots off first.
Thank you.
That might hurt, wouldn't it?
You might have to walk on my back, though. Will you rub my back later?
I'll take my shoes off, I promise.
No, will you just rub my back later?
Okay.
All right, so say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Okay, until next time, boys and girls, if you have a guess for the boyfriend's movie trailer, feel free to email me, leave a comment on the website, and until next time, bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Archer Radio.